Welcome to the Teach the Geek podcast, where engineer and author Neil Thompson talks with STEM professionals about public speaking, a struggle for many of us. Whether you're a novice public speaker or a proficient one, you can always pick up tips on how to improve. Here's your host, Neil Thompson.
Welcome to another edition of Teach the Geek Interviews. My name is Neil Thompson. I'm the founder of Teach the Geek. I work with technical professionals so they can present more effectively, especially in front of non-technical audiences. And you can learn more about that at teachthegeek.com. Again, that's teachthegeek.com. If you are watching this episode on YouTube, remember to like and subscribe. Every bit helps. And if you're listening to the podcast, you can always become a follower of the podcast, leave a review. That helps too. So today, my guest is Ahmad Burse. He is a high-performance coach for engineers. I'm really interested to learn how he came to that line of work and what prepared him for it, what he exactly does with his clients. And so let's just get into it. Welcome to Teach the Geek Interviews, Ahmad.
Thank you. And I really appreciate being able to come on.
Oh, my pleasure. So from the bit of research I did on you, I saw that you got a degree in resource management. I've never heard of such a degree. So I'm kind of curious, what did that entail? And also, what prompted you to get that degree?
Well, that was my second degree. And resource management is just basically anything that you have, whether it be, it would be a generic business degree, really.
Oh, okay. And what made you decide to get that degree?
Well, I was in the military and I had been traveling a lot and I didn't have an opportunity to kind of pursue the things that I wanted to, but that was an option that I had. So I took advantage of it.
All right. Got you. All right. So now you get this degree. And so you mentioned you were in the military when you got this degree?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Okay, so then I'm sure you were in the military. Then are you still active in the military?
I retired.
Okay, retired. All right. So once you retired from the military, what came next?
Well, after I retired from the military, I actually became a adjunct instructor at a local college. I taught information technology as well as career development for students, and they're non-traditional students, meaning that single parents, as well as maybe persons who are restarting their careers. So it was an interesting demographic to work with.
Oh, okay. Nice. All right. That's interesting. So then at some point you decide that, I mentioned in the intro that you do work with engineers. So where did that come from?
So then after I stopped teaching, I began working with the Army Corps of Engineers. And during that time, I was kind of exposed to some of the trials and tribulations and some of the things that engineers went through in regards to whether it's project management, getting their specific certifications. And what I realized is a lot of them were very, very good at their jobs, extremely technical, extremely able to do what they needed to do. However, the soft skill sets that kind of allow you to, advance more, they weren't kind of lacking in it. It's not that they didn't have it, but they didn't have a way of developing those soft skills. So then that's why I kind of came into this position where I'm right now.
All right. And then when it comes to the work that you do with the engineers, what kind of services do you offer them?
Well, I offer one-on-one coaching. I also offer speaking engagement and corporate training, just depending upon what, after speaking to the person or speaking to the agency, what they're trying to do, what they're trying to accomplish. And we, through a series of conversations, just kind of figure out, okay, well, can we work together? If we can, this is the way I can assist you in reaching your goals.
And so the work that you end up doing with was just, for instance, an engineer that comes to you, what kind of, outcomes can they expect after working with you?
Depending upon, and for me, it's really important to do the deep dive into what are you trying to achieve? Are you trying to develop your leadership skills? Are you trying to become a better communicator? Are you trying to, do you have difficulties managing time? And these are things that as a leader that I realized sometimes you just get so focused at the job and so focused on completing some tasks that you miss out on some things. So I try and, figure out exactly what that person needs to feel kind of whole again. And then I work with them to get there.
So if you were to pinpoint the number one issue that engineers have, what would it be?
From my experience, it was interpersonal communication. And like I said, a lot of the folks that I've worked with were extremely technical, but in regards to working with other engineers or leading their teams, they were kind of missing the marks. One, you can have someone that's an excellent team player, but you put them in a position of leadership and they just may not know what to do because they've not been in that place before.
Yeah, I certainly can recognize that. At one point you're a technical person and then maybe you get moved up into a management position. And the fact that you were great as a technical person is kind of put to the wayside now that you have to manage people, and because that's a completely different skill set. Is that the type of person that you can potentially work with?
Yes, someone who wants to work on their people skills. But I think that the thing about it is a lot of times when I end up speaking with folks, and I, excuse the vernacular, I'm from Pittsburgh, but my mom's from the country, so I have a little country in me. But the thing about it is that when I speak to people, they may be on the verge of something or making a decision that may not be in their best interest. Meaning, hey, they were in competition with another person and they get passed over for promotion, or things aren't moving in the direction they want to. And they're like, well, hey, what can I do? And so it's like, at this point, it's a push come to shove, as opposed to maybe if they were planned it out, they could say, hey, I can get a coach and I'm doing okay now, but that person can help me get to the next level before it becomes you being between a rock and a hard place, or at least in your mind.
How amenable are engineers to getting a coach?
It depends on the pain points, but it also depends on what their goals are. A lot of times you don't know what you don't know. So if you can present something to someone and it makes them look at things differently, or if you can help them show them, hey, you can address things like this, or you can do things like that. I think that's the eye opener. You have to have that significant emotional event, but it just depends on what someone's going through. It depends on, what they personally want. I can't like put it into a mold and say, okay, this person will do this, because, we're human beings. We're all, capable of doing different things and changing our mind.
Well, 100%. I can recall when even the genesis of what eventually became Teach the Geek was it stemmed from me having to give presentations in front of management, and I wasn't very good at it at first. And really what was the catalyst for me to understand that this is something I needed to get better is my project got canceled, and it was the project that I was brought into the company to do. And so when that happened, that was the wake up call that I needed, that hey, maybe this is something I need to get better at. So I think you're right. Sometimes like something catastrophic has to happen for you to really kind of wake you up and to know, okay, this is something I need to address. And maybe a coach is the best way to do it, but it has to be addressed in some form or fashion.
And I think when people, like for me, any player that's played any sport or done anything, anybody has gotten a coach to improve, because a coach can see some things that you can't see, maybe recognize some abilities you have, identify some blind spots that you weren't aware of. So then bringing on, and the other part about it is it's an investment, and that's why you got to look at it. You can't look at it like, oh man, I'm going to pay someone to do this. No, you're investing in yourself to be that greater version of yourself, whatever that is.
Yeah, absolutely. So when it comes to, engineers communicating with others, how do you suggest engineers become better communicators?
I think with anything, you have to sit down and evaluate how things are going. Whenever I ask someone to do something, are they able to complete the task, or do I gotta go back behind them and ask and do it? Am I communicating effectively? When I'm working on group tasks or I'm managing a project, am I able to bring the team together, or are they separating? Are they, backbiting? When my supervisor or the person who's directing me tells me instructions, am I accomplishing things? I mean, you have to put some kind of mechanism to evaluate, hey, where am I at right now? And then from there, you can start, putting things in place to get where you want to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I fully agree with that. When I talk to people on this channel and have these conversations, I'm curious to see if they have a process for putting their presentations together. With the engineers that you work with, do you suggest a process for them putting their presentations together? And if so, what would that process be?
One of the things I learned, and of course you got to know your audience, but the main thing is I always keep it in threes. No matter what I'm doing, I'm keeping it in threes. So when you're putting together a presentation, you only have an opening, body, and conclusion. And when in that opening, you have, you know, what you're going to talk, and then within that, what you're going to talk about it, you talk about it, and then you talk about it again. And I keep things in three. So even if I'm in my introduction and I'm introducing different parts of the speech, and I hope this is what you're asking me, but if I'm introducing different parts of the speech, I make sure that I do it in threes. So I don't, whenever I present, I don't use notes. I mean, I can use a PowerPoint presentation, but that's just one of the things that, that's a me thing, I guess you could say. I'm not sure if I was on the mark for your question. Was I on the mark, or how can I specify?
Well, I mean, typically if you have a presentation to give, you don't, well, I mean, I shouldn't say you don't want to, because you very well could, but you may want to do the essentially the same things over and over again, so you don't have to recreate the wheel. So what part of the presentation do you work on first? I mean, you mentioned knowing your audience, so that's really important. But actually, when you were talking, it spurred another question, and that has to do with engineers typically have to give technical presentations. And in a lot of cases, they may have to give those presentations to non-technical audiences. So what kind of, I guess, advice would you have for an engineer who has to give a technical presentation to a non-technical audience?
Something I learned in the military, KISS. Keep it simple. And the last S is stupid, actually, but it's, you have to keep it as, I mean, there's no need to use a $5 word when a 25-cent word will do. The more, although it can, it's going to be technical, as basic as you can make it, you know, the better you can communicate whatever it is you're saying to the person who has the least skill set and they can understand it, that's the value of the presentation. I mean, because whoever walks away, whatever you're talking about, they should be able to at least regurgitate it to someone else with the same understanding that they received. That's just how I do business. Now, some things you're not going to be able to kind of break down, but as much as you can to make it as simply for the person who may not understand, who's sitting in the audience, that's what's needed.
Yeah, I fully agree. Yeah, you know, a $5 word and a 25 cent word, I like that.
But in one of the things in coaching leaders, your whole role as a leader is communication. That's the bottom line. And if you're not able to communicate people throughout the organization and they don't understand what your mission is, they don't understand what the goals are, because they're so convoluted or you're using this verbiage, then there's a challenge there. And there should be a challenge, especially with, you know, the more simply you can communicate what needs to get done, the easier it will be for people to complete it. The other part about it is, if they're not around, or if you're not around to kind of give them guidance, if it's simple, they know exactly what the next step might be.
Yeah, I can recall when I had to give those presentations in front of management, and this was 15 years ago now, but I firmly believe that if I had done a better job at putting things in the way that the people in the audience, many of whom were non-technical decision makers, could understand, maybe I could have saved that project. And because ultimately, if they don't understand what you're saying, the answer is going to be no.
Yes. or what the value of it is, what it's for. And like, sometimes people will create these presentations and they're missing the mark. So then, and I guess another part about the giving a presentation, for me, whoever is a decision maker or whomever I'm working with, I'm trying to figure out, what are we doing here? What exactly needs to get done? What's the message that needs to get communicated? So then that way, you know, there's no guesswork to it, because you can work really hard, you know, on building something. And, you know, if you're building it and it's facing the wrong direction, or if you're not using the correct tools to get it done, I mean, it doesn't matter. You know, it's like, okay, and you don't want to waste time, because that's the main thing people don't like, is their time.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, especially if you're a decision maker, a person in management, your time is of the essence. When I had to give those presentations in front of management, it wasn't just me, it was all the other engineers that were leading projects, and it was a day-long affair. So we're talking the CMO, CEO, C fill in the blank O, all these people would be in the audience listening to a bunch of engineers give their project status updates. And this was, you know, 10 minutes each, but it adds up, because it was all the projects that were going on at the company at the time. And so if you're able to present whatever you have to present in a way that these people can understand, they're not going to think this was a waste of my 10 minutes. And then the next one, it wasn't a waste of my 10 minutes. And then by the end of it, okay, maybe this wasn't a waste of my day. I actually got some information that I actually needed. So when it comes to the, you know, I think a lot of engineers, especially ones who shy away from giving presentations or public speaking in general, they get nervous before doing it and maybe even during it. So for the people who do get nervous when it comes to presentations, what advice would you have for them to manage their nerves?
So then, can you tell me your favorite movie?
My favorite movie? Boys in the Hood.
No, you're not. Not Doughboy.
Rocky!
Oh, my goodness. I was talking to my friends, and they had said The Wood. Like, we watch old movies, and it's like that time period's gone. It's never coming back, and it was just, you know, a good time. Not Boys in the Hood, but just that whole era. But when you watch a movie and you see an actor playing in a role, they've memorized that role. They've memorized it to the point where you're actually believing this person is who they're playing. And that's how you have to go about preparing for a presentation. One of the things is, you know, for every minute you speak, you need to practice for an hour. So if, you know, if you're giving a 10-minute speech, you need to practice for 10 hours. So the nervousness isn't going to go, but you want to have developed enough responses and practice enough that you just go into autopilot. So then, as you know, you're giving your presentation that you're not, even if you are nervous, you're not showing it. So then that's how I look at, I'm one of them folks that, especially because you only get one time, you know, first impressions are lasting impressions. And if you don't do a good job of giving an effective speech initially, then, you know, you may end up damaging yourself in the company because they're like, remember when so-and-so gave that speech and they sucked at it? Well, you know, they won't be speaking again. And that's kind of the way things happen. They may not say it to your face, but you're like, well, I'm due to speak. It's like, no, and they say it, they're good. Or they want someone else to do it.
That's what I'm due to speak. No, you're not.
You're good. Thank you.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Yeah, I firmly agree with what you said on the nerves never really go away. And the at least to me, the reason they don't go away is because they're supposed to be there if you actually care about the outcome of what you're talking about. I mean, if you don't, then you're probably not nervous at all because you don't really care what happens after that presentation. But if you actually do care, like, I should have cared when I first started giving those presentations. My project got canceled after all. You know, those nerves damn well should have been there. You know, this could be your job. But and luckily it wasn't, at least in my case. So when it comes also to presentations and my public speaking generally, for the people who are watching or listening to our conversation, Ahmad, what would your number one tip be for them to improve in their presentation skills?
My number one tip for them to improve their presentation skills, I would say, I didn't say this initially, Zig Ziglar said it, you know, go to Toastmasters. I'm still in Toastmasters. When you meet people who are all nervous and they're trying to develop their speaking skills, and you just kind of support each other, and, you know, iron sharpened iron, as you could say. That's one of the best things you can do because if you just start jumping out there and speaking and you're not comfortable, you might have a bad experience that's going to shape you and say, hey, listen, I'm not going to do this again. However, if you are in some type of Toastmasters, I just recommend Toastmasters. I think the Rotary is another place that allows you to speak, but Toastmasters really developed me as a speaker. Like, it took me from not being able to communicate, but to actually influence and impact people. So that would be my one. And then watch videos. I mean, just like when we were talking about Boys in the Hood, you know, Ricky getting killed. Everybody thought he really died. However, he was acting. And that's the degree of command I would recommend anyone try to achieve in presenting. Because if you're a good presenter, you know, people want you back. They don't even care what you're talking about as long as they can hear you. So then that's what I'd say.
Yeah. Toastmasters is an excellent organization. I was a member of it myself. No matter where I was working at, in fact, after my project got canceled, that was one of the first things I did was join a Toastmasters club. And then for a number of years afterwards, no matter where I was working, I was a member of a Toastmasters group. One of the best reasons to join is to help you with those filler words. Yes. You know, like, so, yes. Yeah, because you got an odd counter in the meeting and they're taking notes. And every time you use them, I remember at one of the clubs that I was a member of, we actually had to pay money every time we used the filler word. And what would happen, at least for one of the members, is he would just come into the meeting and just put money in the jar. Because he didn't even wait. He's like, I know I'm going to use the filler word, so just take my money right now.
Well, and the other part about that is it makes you... Toastmasters made me cognizant of what I was saying. And it's really important that you're aware, you're in the moment of what you are saying. Because for a lot of people, they'll say something, they won't even realize it. So then Toastmasters is really important in that aspect for me, because you need to control what you're saying. You need to think about your words matter. So speak like they matter.
Yeah, especially when it comes to those filler words. Again, I want to mention the filler words. I had a guest on, this was maybe a couple of years ago now, and my mother called me after that episode went live, and she said that she couldn't listen to it after a few minutes because the guests I had used so many filler words that she found it distracting. And I didn't even realize that that could actually be the case, but I then did a poll on LinkedIn asking people about filler words and what should be done about them. Should they be minimized as much as possible, or are they really that big a deal? And I believe it was that maybe 75% of people said they should be minimized as much as possible. So I guess my mother's not a unicorn in the sense that filler words are bothered to her. And you'd certainly, if you're an engineer giving a presentation in front of people who can really affect your career, and if they're bothered by filler words, well, yeah, that's something you really should look into. Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So this has been a great conversation, Ahmad. Thank you so much for being a guest. How can people get in touch with you?
They can reach out to me on LinkedIn. I'm still in the process of building my website, or they can just reach out to me at Ahmad@burseconsulting.com.
So. Excellent. Well, everyone, that marks the end of another edition of Teach the Geek Interviews. My name is Neil Thompson. I'm the founder of Teach the Geek. I work for technical professionals so they can present more effectively, especially in front of non-technical audiences. And you can learn more about that at teachthegeek.com. Again, that's teachthegeek.com. Until next time, take care and stay safe. Thanks, Ahmad.
Thank you.
Well, everyone, that marks another episode in the can. I hope you enjoyed it. If you like these episodes and want to support Teach the Geek, please subscribe, share, and like on any of your favorite podcast platforms, or on all of them. Also, if you prefer to watch the episodes, head on over to the YouTube channel at youtube.teachthegeek.com. Until next time.